Morning, saints. It's a joy to be at Good Tidings. Thank the Lord. I cannot compete with Sister Pat. I do not sing. Our brother Victor shared some of what I want to talk about today. So I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers and grandmothers and spiritual mothers. For those on Zoom, this is just hot water for my voice. In 1914, May 9th, President Woodrow Wilson issued a declaration declaring Mother's Day to be a national holiday to be held the second Sunday of each May. And the first Mother's Day was in 1914. But God has been looking at mothers for a long time. God has been pointing out mothers in Scripture for thousands of years for us to see and to learn from these dear women of God. So I want to acknowledge and recognize all of the mothers and grandmothers, spiritual mothers, and talk about three mothers and one grandmother. We want to look today briefly at Jochebed, Moses' mother, Hannah, Samuel's mother, and Lois and Eunice, Timothy's grandmother and mother. They had a short window, these women, these mothers, to raise their children. Look at that short window. The work that they put in both spiritually and also naturally, and the results of their labor. So let's start with Moses' mother. You know the story well. Now please turn to Exodus chapter 2. Our mothers today have a longer time with their sons and daughters. And mothers at Good Tidings here, grandmothers, have put the work in spiritually, naturally. But look at Exodus chapter 2. Verse 1, and a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the bank of the river. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maids to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. Verse 10, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." May God bless the reading of his holy word. We know the story of Moses quite well, and we know the background. The children of Israel are in Egypt. And there arises a king who does not know Joseph. And he sets hard taskmasters and those over the children of Israel. The midwives of the Hebrew women were told to kill the male babies. They refused to do that because they feared God. And God built them houses. He made them families. And then the injunction went out to, if a Hebrew woman has a baby and it's a male child, drown him, throw him in the river. If it's a daughter, save her alive. But here we have this couple, Amram and Jochebed, the parents of Moses. And they have this baby, Moses. It's not his name at the time. And he's a beautiful child. You know, all children are beautiful children born into this world. And she had seen, Moses' mother, that he was beautiful for God. Not only was he naturally a beautiful child, but he was beautiful for God and that God could use this child. We read in Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14 of Psalm 139, David said, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." Jochebed probably didn't have this scripture, but we have it from David in the Psalm. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We will praise God for that. He gives us natural life. And as we had in the breaking of bread, also eternal life. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, you know the verse as well. "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I ordained you a prophet of the nations." And so Jochebed, she sees that this is a beautiful child, a child that could be used for God. She did not know what God would do with Moses. The revelation came later on. But she and her husband Amram, they hid this child 3 months among all that's going on in Egypt. Babies being drowned, soldiers coming through. But their faith in God and trust in God, they hid him for 3 months. And the mothers of good tidings and Christian mothers and grandmothers and spiritual mothers have been nurturing their children. They realize that these are children for God, our sons and daughters, to be used by God in the future day, and even when they're young, in the Sunday school, in the young people's work, in the assembly. You know, Good Tidings has a whole lot of good work going on here for the older saints, the saints in the middle, and the younger saints. But also look at this. God in his providence, she puts the baby in an ark. And she takes this child because after 3 months, she can't hide him any longer. She doesn't put him in the Nile. She puts him in the bank, in the sedge, near the riverbank. If she had put Moses in the Nile, the power of the Nile River would have taken him downstream. But she puts him in the sedge, a little alcove. And she's hiding him for God. And she and her husband Amram, they must have counseled and had a good relationship the way they raise the sister Miriam. Because Miriam, the scripture says in verse 4 of where we read, that she stood afar off to see what would happen to her brother. And God in his providence, God in his sovereignty, allows the daughter of Pharaoh to come at this very time to the Nile River to bathe with her maidens. And Moses is floating near the riverbank. And God tells Moses to cry, and the baby cries. And she has compassion on him. She has compassion on him. We would dare say that the first 3 months, when Jochebed was hiding Moses, wasn't his name at that time, she was praying for him. And Amram, the father, was praying for him, praying for this child. And the mothers of good tidings and grandmothers, spiritual mothers, Sunday school workers, pray for their children. When they're infants and babies and children, pray for them. And then God comes in. And Miriam has wisdom. Shall I bring you a nurse for this child? God is working things out. God, in his providence, in his circumstances, in his sovereignty, he brings Pharaoh's daughter and Miriam together. And she says, I will get a nurse for you to nurse this baby. And she brings the child's mother. And now, Jochebed has more time with this baby, with this child. She's prayed for him for 3 months. She's hid him. He's beautiful for God. And now God gives him back to this mother. And she has more time. And she's going to keep this baby until he is weaned. I have to ask the nurses in the room and the moms in the room, the grandmothers in the room, the sisters in the room, how long does it take to wean a child? Some say 2 years. Some say less than that. Other countries more than that. But let's say that Jochebed, she gets 2 more years to nurse her son, to love her son, to provide for her son, to pray for her son, and to pray with her son. And this is what she does. She gets 2 more years until he's weaned. You know, a child that's weaned is content. A child that's weaned doesn't need the breast milk anymore. A child that's weaned could just sit quietly, male or female, and just wait for the natural food given by a spoon. And she returns this child to Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter calls this child Moses, as we know, because she had taken him from the river. She gives him this name. And what a wonderful thing that the mothers of good tidings, grandmothers, spiritual mothers, believing sisters and mothers all around the assemblies in the world, realize that their children are beautiful for God. They pray for them, they pray with them, and they tell them who they are. Let's look at the results of what she did. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Moses is now a grown man. This is the book of faith and the heroes of faith. Look at Hebrews 11, verses 23 to 26. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked for the reward. This is the result of the work of Jochebed, praying for this child, nurturing this child. She taught Moses, as he was being weaned, who he was. Moses knew who he was. He was an Israelite. Look at the key words in the verses we read in Hebrews. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He didn't want the pleasures of sin for a season or the treasures of Egypt. He knew who he was. I dare say that the Christian mothers around the world, here at Good Tidings and the other assemblies, teach their children, their sons and daughters, who they are. And look at this verse. We know this verse well. Turn to Acts chapter 7. A reference to Moses. Look at verse 22. Acts 7:22, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. So Moses was trained in the palace. highly educated, warrior, general, leader, well taught. But Moses knew who he was because of our sister Jochebed. I would also dare add that our brother Amram, the father, had some role in there, but this is Mother's Day. Please go right next door to 1 Samuel. Let's look at Sister Hannah. I think we know the background well of Hannah. Her husband, this is 1 Samuel chapter 1, his name is Elkanah. Elkanah has two wives. He has Hannah and Peninnah. Just giving background. Peninnah has five children at least. She has sons and daughters. Hannah has no children. Hannah, her name means grace. Grace, that's what her name means. And Hannah, she has no children. Look at verse 5. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. When our beautiful sisters are unable to have children, and God forbid most have children, but some cannot, it is the mind of God, it is the will of God, in the case of Hannah, that the Lord had shut her womb. But when the Lord shut Hannah's womb, that drove Hannah to pray. But before Hannah prayed, Hannah had the natural reaction of every human being, of every woman, every mother. We can say amen to that, because she wept and she cried. In verse 6, Hannah has a rival, Peninnah. Peninnah would provoke her. The scripture says we are to provoke one another unto loves and good works. But in verse 6, here we have Peninnah, her rival provokes her. And again, look at the scripture, because the Lord had closed her womb. We get that twice. Elkanah takes the family up to Shiloh to worship. Look at verse 9. So Hannah rose after they finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. Of course, the priest should be standing, but he's sitting. Priests are to stand. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he himself has purged our sins, what did he do? He sat down, but these priests were to stand. Verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul, Hannah, and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. This is the natural response of women, that God has given them that they cannot, she is grieving. So we do not condemn Hannah for this. Now she's praying. Verse 11, then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. Grief, disappointment causes prayer. Grief and disappointment turns us to the Lord. And the Lord comes in at times with disappointments and trials and griefs. And we don't like them, although James says we ought to count it all joy. We don't. I know I don't. But it causes us to be exercised. And she prays specifically, O Lord, give me a male child. We know that our prayers, beloved saints, are specific. We go before the Lord and we're very specific. Give me a male child. Then she makes a vow. I will not condemn Hannah, but I think we should be careful making vows to the Lord, but within the context, she makes the vow. You give me this male child, I will give him back to you all the days of his life. And she prays. We know later on in the context that the priest Eli, who's sitting down, thinks she's drunk because she's praying. Her mouth is moving, but you don't hear any words. He thinks that she's drunk, but she's not drunk. She says, oh, my Lord, lowercase L to Eli the priest, I'm praying, I'm in bitterness of soul. The Lord answers her prayers. Look at verse 18. Verse 19, then they rose up early in the morning That's Eli and his family, and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their home at Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked of him of the Lord. The name Samuel means asked of God. She names him after the prayer. She asked God for a male child, for a son. She receives him, and she names him Samuel. And there is no objection from her husband Elkanah. This is all wonderful. And now we're going to read that she keeps her promise. Verse 21, now the man Elkanah and all his house went to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and vow. But Hannah, verse 22, did not go up. For she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Maybe 2 years, maybe less than that. The mothers of good tidings will tell me later on. There's the weaning process, but she's praying for this child. She prayed for this child. She's nurturing this child. She's loving this child. She's going to wean him and give him to the Lord. And when the Lord gives us children, we give them back to him. That's the exercise. So Elkanah, well, verse 24. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. What a worship that Hannah has. 3 bullocks. If you were poor in Israel, it was a turtle dove, or 2 turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons. If you were poor in Israel, it was meal for the meal offering, all speaking of Christ. She gives 3 bullocks, 1 ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. This is all her worship to the Lord for giving her this son, this child she had prayed for, Samuel. And she worships him, she and Elkanah, perhaps the other children. Well, there'll be more children later. She worships, and she takes him, and she gives him, she takes him to the tabernacle, and she gives him to the Lord. She gives him to the Lord. And she explains to Eli, verse 26, and she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you praying to the Lord. And here's the key verse, saints, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I have also lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. We return our sons and daughters to the Lord. He gives them to us. And what an exercise by Hannah. Look at the results. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. This is the results of Hannah's exercise, Hannah's grief, Hannah's bitterness, but her exercise. She gets Samuel in chapter 3, verse 19. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. The blessed results. She also had a short window with her son, with her child. But besides that, she put the work in for the Lord. And the Lord is no man's debtor. All the saints know this verse. Look at verse 21. It might be chapter 2. The verse I'm looking for, some saint will tell me, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Which chapter is that, saints? Two. And what's that, verse 21?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. He's no man's debtor. She gives him Samuel, he gives her five more. This is our Lord, how great our God is. And Samuel was a judge, a prophet. He also served as a priest at times. And finally, saints, let's just take a quick look at Timothy. Our brother Victor referenced this. We've already seen two mothers. Now we'll just look briefly at the grandmother. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, and it's just verse 13. Actually, it's verses 1 to 3. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is also in you. Our brother Victor referenced this verse, a godly grandmother and a godly mother, women of faith who instilled faith in their children, in Timothy. And our mothers of good tidings and grandmothers, spiritual mothers, also instill the faith in our sons and daughters and young people. Timothy was a child under the tutelage of his grandmother and his mother. Just go to Acts 16, just to look at Timothy's father. I know the saints know this. Look at Acts chapter 16. Verses 1 and 2. Apostle Paul, Dr. Luke is writing, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who went at Lystra and Iconium. So Timothy's father was a Greek. Nothing is said about him. Perhaps he believed in Greek mythology. Perhaps he was a scholar in Greek literature. But we have here that the mother and the grandmother of Timothy were the ones who taught him, exposed him to faith, prayed with him, I'm sure, prayed for him. And Timothy is the result of his godly mother and grandmother. And the Bible is clear to name them, Eunice and Lois in the New Testament. What a blessed scripture we have for our mothers, our Christian mothers, the influence, the guidance, the faith, the prayers, the correction, the encouragement for their children, grandchildren, spiritual children. And then also, they taught them the scriptures. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just go to chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. The work of these godly women, mothers, grandmothers, tutors, nurses, nannies, there for these children. And we have a Moses, a Samuel, and a Timothy. What's the results of Timothy as we conclude? He traveled with the Apostle Paul on his missionary journeys. We have two books in the Bible with his name. The Apostle Paul writing Timothy. And Timothy was one who was greatly used of the Lord. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, the apostle says, "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia," speaking to Timothy, "remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Timothy had pastoral gifts. Timothy had the gift to teach. Timothy was one of the pillars in the assembly in Ephesus because of Lois and Eunice. And we have two books in the Bible that bears his name. And so, beloved saints, the takeaway the sisters will have for themselves, they'll have their own, what they gathered from this. But I would say that we have godly sisters at Good Tidings, mothers and grandmothers, spiritual mothers. Their children are beautiful for God. You have a longer window, maybe 18, 20 years with these young people in the home to really guide them. But as they leave, as Brother Vickers said, they're still influenced. Our brother said, in terms of prayer, when we worry, we pray for them, we guide them, we nurture them. And we don't put our children into the Nile. Although we want to educate them, we put them like in the alcove. We want to encourage them to do well. Be all that you can be, but put God first. May God encourage our hearts on this Mother's Day, for his name's sake.